Everyone here, it's my blessed privilege to have a part in this service today, and I thank God for the opportunity. Subject matter that has been assigned to me is joy, the fruit of the Spirit, the text you'll find in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be a part of this service, and we thank you, Lord, for the devotional portion of this service and the remarkable fellowship we've already enjoyed, dear God. It's an exciting place to be, dear Lord, and your presence is what makes all the difference in the world. Yes. We thank you for your presence. We pray for your power. We pray that you would open up our hearts and help us to be receptive to the truth of the Word of God, that we would be better equipped and able to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming week. We pray for those that are here, every person, and pray every soul would have ministered to them the very need they need, dear God. Whether it be salvation, rededication, whatever the need be, may the Holy Spirit have complete liberty in our hearts and minds, for it's in Christ Jesus we pray, and amen. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. So if we begin with just that, the definition of joy, and I'm talking about God's joy that only God can provide. The Greek word there is chara. And it means cheerfulness, calm, delight, gladness, exceedingly joyful. Now we're going to contrast that joy, which is genuine, it's of God. It don't come from without, it comes from within. This is the fruit of the Spirit. I couldn't help but just thinking, I wasn't even going to mention it, but just went through my mind. Usually what goes through my mind comes out my mouth, and sometimes that's not good. But I was just thinking about my wife yesterday afternoon. And I also thought about Sandy Rader. And I know both of them tuned into the West Virginia ball game. In the first half, they were exceedingly joyful. The second half, not so much. The end of the game, they were exceedingly joyful again. And oftentimes, that's the way that we describe joy or experience joy. But I'm talking about this joy that we're talking about. This is the joy that only God gives. And God is the source of the true joy that is eternal. It don't come and go. It's eternal. And John 15, chapter 11, it says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And we think about that oftentimes. You know what hinders us more than anything else in the world is this flesh. This flesh, it is so hindering. We need to be reliant and dependent upon the Spirit of God within us. And he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit is joy. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And we need to acknowledge that when we were regenerate, when we were saved, when we were born again, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in us. And also imparted unto us is a new man. And there's a divine new nature within us. And we've already learned that the flesh profiteth absolutely nothing. So if we'll just focus our minds on the real source of the real joy that will help us and give us encouragement and challenge and help us to be a blessing and a help to others as well, we realize that greater is He that is within us than he that is within the world, and we must totally be dependent upon the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the source of the believer's joy, and He will never depart from the believer. I thank God for that. My heart goes out to all the Armenians that's in this world because they never have any assurance whatsoever. And all the works-oriented religions that are out there, they never know whether they arrive, when they arrive. And we know that we're already predestined unto glory. We're already saved by the grace of God. We already enjoy eternal life because we have the Son of God within us. Amen. And he that hath the Son hath the life, and he that hath not the Son hath not the life. And we have the Son. Now what greater source of that than to have joy in our hearts? And so with that in mind, he'll never depart from us. And the Word of God says in John chapter 14, verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, another Paraclete, another one that comes alongside of and gives you counsel, encouragement, and help, that He may abide with you." How long? Forever. Forever and ever and ever. And the Lord Jesus Christ, on those 3.5 years, He was right there with the disciples, and He encouraged them, and He helped them, and He even rebuked them as well. And we need all of that. But now we've got the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is within us. And that's the reason I'm so appreciative of the presence of the Spirit of God. And in the book of Job, it even tells us, happy is the man that is corrected of the Lord. Let me just tell you something. I need that correction, and I appreciate that correction. And that's a reassurance to me of the love of God. As many as I love, I rebuke and chase, be zealous therefore and repent. And so I thank God that the presence of the Spirit of God is ever with me. Now, when we think about that, I think we minimize that too much. Because God's presence gives us the assurance of the fullness of joy. When I think about that and all of the circumstances and the situations and all of the trials and the tribulations that would seem to want to rob us from that joy and that confidence and that assurance, I think about the presence of God. And one of the grandest things that I know is one of the attributes of our God is that He's omnipresent. You can't go a place that He's not. I've come to learn this, that oftentimes I have phobias, and I guess each one of us, we don't talk about it a lot, but I've got phobias. I have a phobia every time I go across New River Gorge Bridge. Don't mind telling you. I despise that bridge, and I just think it's just an unnatural thing, and it terrifies me. But you know one thing that gives me assurance? My God's with me. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the phobia, no matter what the problem, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And because of His presence, it makes all the difference in the world. And aren't you delightful this afternoon that God's presence is here with us? And I have this association. If God's presence is here, it'll be okay. It's going to be all right. He's got, and He's always here. And He promised that He's never leave us and never forsake us. And one of our people in our church, one of her favorite psalms is Psalm 139. She's such a blessing to my heart. And I want to read just a couple verses there. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know what He said about us, His sheep, my sheep, hear my voice, and what else? I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They'll never perish. What a motivation for joy. And He knows us, and He knows the innermost. And what's amazing to me, that He knows us with that intimate level, and He still loves us. That's a wonderful thing. He says, Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprisings, and understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. I like verse 5. It says, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and Thou hast laid Thy hand upon me. When I think about this, I always think about the verse that I just alluded to in John chapter 10. And it talks about us being in Christ's hand and in the Father's hand, and nobody can pluck us out of His hand. We're in the providential care of God. That brings joy. That brings assurance. I'm talking about a fullness of joy. I associate that with the presence of God. Then in verse 6, the psalmist makes an analogy. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain to it. It's absolutely overwhelming, and it brings a comfort to my soul. And when I think about that, and God's presence gives assurance of the fullness of joy. You know, in Psalm 16, verse 11, he says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God's always with us, and God wants us to have a joyful existence. He really does. And even in, what is it, Philippians chapter 4, I think maybe verse 4, Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. And again, there's that cheerfulness, that calm delight, gladness, exceedingly joyful. And that's conducive to being a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you known somebody? Can someone come into your mind that is the opposite of all of that? I mean, they're for nothing and against everything. You know what I've learned? If I want to be joyful and to rejoice, I just navigate away from that crowd. I really do. Because the more I engage in it and to try to help them, you get contaminated. And I think in Proverbs, In the book of Proverbs, I forget just what it is, 22 maybe, Proverbs 22, it talks about an angry man, and it gives you the counsel this, to stay away from them unless you learn their ways and get caught in a snare. Well, don't let anybody take your joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit, the presence of God. He promises us the fullness of His joy because of His presence, and He has pleasures forevermore. I think about that, and I think about the Word of God teaching us that we are to focus on things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen is eternal. I kind of took an analogy of my life and found out that the most things that was stressing me out, I could see. Hey, they were temporal. It's going to pass. But we got promises here that there's the pleasures of the Lord forevermore, for eternity. It's a wonderful thing, and our destiny is already sure because of our affiliation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that I think that is incredible, great, and encouraging about the joy of the Lord from the Holy Spirit of God is that no man has the ability to take my joy. I mean, that's what in John 16:22 it says, I know, therefore, ye now, therefore, have sorrow. And that's when He announced that He was going to go to the cross, and they were exceedingly sorrowful. But He says, I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And that's our promise too. So we have the presence of the Spirit of God within us. He's ever giving us that opportunity for joy and so forth. And there's another thing that I think is vitally important, is helping people with the matter of this joy, I recognize, is a vital ministry. How many people do you know that are discouraged and down and overwrought and overwhelmed? And oftentimes we think, well, I don't know what's wrong with them. I just need to straighten up. And yet the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, take heed when you think you stand, what? Lest you fall. We're all vulnerable to all of that. We really are. And we need to minister one another and help one another. And that's what the Apostle Paul was. And even though he had to rebuke the church of Corinth, and rightfully so, it was legitimate that he needed to rebuke them. But he was not trying to harm them or hurt them. He wanted to help them, admonish them, and edify them and encourage them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, he says this, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Too often times I think we miss opportunities of ministry. What is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, therefore seeing we have this ministry, that we don't faint and so forth. I think oftentimes we have opportunities for ministry all around us. When we see people with a sad countenance or some person is down and overwhelmed. Oftentimes, you know, I worked with the public for like a million years. And I know that most customers that come in, they're preoccupied with things and things that are on their mind and so forth. You're not witnessing them at their best. And you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what's going on. And there's opportunities there that we could be an encouragement. We could come along the Apostle Paul and say, I want to be helpers of your joy, and I want to help you. And that's where that we need to be equipped with the Word of God and be dependent upon the Spirit of God. And that will transform our attitude. There won't be any condescending, pharisaical attitude. There'll be a loving, compassionate, caring person filled with empathy that wants to reach out. And not only just to sympathize or empathize with someone, that you'd be equipped with the Word of God to be able to take the Word of God, that they could be transformed and be delivered, and we could move into that capacity of being helpers of them having the joy of God. And yet, if they're believers, they have the Spirit of God within them. And this joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And all they need to do is to have that acknowledgement and to tap into that and to experience that and to enjoy what they already have. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and with verse 13, oftentimes when we think about that, opportunities for ministry, and many times what goes through our mind, well, that's what Don Bean's for, or that's what Tawny Boggs is for, or whatever. And yet we are all involved in ministry. And we're all equipped and very capable of providing that ministry as well. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope," and that we serve a God of hope. And I'm talking about a confident expectation. I have a confident expectation because of what the validity of the Word of God tells me. Let God be true, let every man be a liar. And we look at this and it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with what? All joy." All joy, that God would fill us. We would be exceedingly joyful. We'd have a calm delight. We'd have a cheerful demeanor. We'd have be filled with gladness. It says to fill you with all joy and peace. That's that peace of God that passes all understanding, because we've taken all of our care and all of our concerns and we cast our care on Him because He careth for us. So now the God of hope and fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. And we have so many people that are so exasperated, and they don't know where to turn. And they feel like that there's no way because there's such a critical spirit all around them. And I just think about that Judge Kavanaugh, and I think about all the things that's come down on him and his family and what he's been under. And my heart just goes out to him. Well, there's many people that are in a similar capacity too because of everyone that is passing judgment. And there seemed like that there's no help. One of the saddest psalms, I think, is where in the psalmist when he acknowledges that nobody cares for my soul. And boy, that ought not be so as long as God's people is around. Amen? And we need to share that and to convey that. And we convey that more than with our words as with our attitude. See, people know whether you're for real or not. You can put on a sham, you can put on a show, and you'll not help anybody with anything. But when you genuinely care, and when you genuinely care, you want to be equipped and enabled to be able to do that. It's not just a passing, fleeting moment, but you've spent time in prayer. And you've said, "God, I pray that you would enable me and equip me. I want to be that person that's a helper of joy," and so forth. I need to be adequate for the occasion, so I must be totally reliant upon you. And when you do so, you'll say, "Holy Spirit of God, would you guide me into your word?" And you'll be able to study the word of God. And let me just tell you something. When someone is exasperated, they're exhausted, they're absolutely despondent and in despair, what you say is not going to make a difference, but what God says is going to make a difference. And that's where the Holy Spirit of God will lead you. And it says that they may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what it's about. It's not about your ability or what you're doing. It's about God and God's power. And you're just a conduit where that the Holy Ghost is working through you to be an encouragement and a help to someone else. And verse 14, it says this, "And I myself am persuaded of you." Now he's talking about the church at Rome. I could say the same thing in the congregation we have here. "I'm persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness." Well, I thought you said that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. I know the only good part of me and you, either one, is what God inside of us. And we are filled with goodness because we have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And that's the source of the joy. Filled with all knowledge, because the Holy Spirit of God will illuminate us and light us in relation to what the Word of God has to say. John 16, 13 says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth. He'll show you things to come." And He says, "with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another." In the Greek there, that word admonish means to confront one another. We have the ability. We should have the motivation. But we need to recognize that it is a great task that we undertake in being a helper of someone's joy, not anything that we should take lightly. And we need to recognize that within ourselves, we don't have the ability or the capacity to do anything, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe before we approach anyone to be an encouragement, I think we ought to first approach the throne of grace and cry out to God for mercy, that we might have help in time of need. We can be a conveyor of that help, and that we could come in the capacity where that we're helping people to come to the joy of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, again, with this in mind, believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit, do we understand what we're talking about, being filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, what is it? Ephesians 5:30, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be you what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, if you've ever been associated with wine or an intoxicating drinks or so forth, it influences your personality and your speech and your motivation and your whole life. And whenever that we tap into the Spirit of God, that means He's the positive influence that we need. He is the one that is operating through us. And so, again, what I'm saying, believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Acts chapter 4, I think it's verse 31, I'm not sure. It says that the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what they did? They spoke the Word of God boldly, without apology. Again, I think that's vitally important. Believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit know the joyful sound and will be exalted by the power of God. And we're talking about joy that comes from God. The source of this joy is God. And we have that victory. If you'd look in Psalm 89, and begin reading with verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed, that means happy. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Can I pause right there and say, do you know the joyful sound? Have you experienced that? Well, if you say, well, I'm not sure whether I have or not. All around you are peoples that want to be helpers in you experiencing that joyful sound. And it says here, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And again, it's the Word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We have people that are stumbling, and it's because they don't have the benefit of the Word of God. When we have the illumination of the Word of God, then the will of God becomes inevitable because we have the Holy Spirit operating through us to the Word of God and helps us to navigate and know, make the right decisions. Verse 16, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. And again, that's where we need more consistency. And the only way that we'll have consistency, if we get out of the flesh and get dependent upon the Spirit, that will bring stability. And there again, we have to become command-oriented and not feeling-oriented, because that's what the problem is now. That's why that Sandy and Linda has so much trouble in those ball games, is because they're feeling-oriented. And if you was command-oriented, you'd be rejoicing whether they win or lose. I know that's a tall asking, isn't it, Sandy? I don't know. But anyway, believers are to shout for joy because the victory is already won. Jesus Christ has won that victory for us in Psalm 32. I'm turning there now. Psalm 32 and verse 11, the Word of God says this. Verse 11. Be glad in the Lord. Boy, we can be that, can't we? We can be joyful, can't we? Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Well, that we all qualify for that. So the joy ought to become apparent and obvious in our life. And then the joy that the world brings, let me just tell you this, the joy that the world brings, the joy that the world entices you with, it gives temporal and unsatisfying because the flesh can't be satisfied. Do you understand that? The flesh can't be satisfied. And that's why you have such digression in these sexual sins and so forth that goes on. In Romans chapter 1, it makes it quite obvious. Pretty soon, one thing don't satisfy you. Go to something else, a little bit more extreme, a little bit more extreme. You can't satisfy the flesh. Job chapter 20 and verse 5 says this, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of a hypocrite is just for a moment. And so what we're talking about is something that is eternal, something is right. That's the joy and the fruit of the Spirit. We also have the joy and the fruit of God's salvation. I mean, all of us that are saved, we have trusted the Lord for our salvation, and with great joy we rejoice because salvation is of the Lord. In Psalm 13 and verse 5 it says this, but I've trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. If you can't think of anything else when your eyes fly open in the morning to rejoice in the Lord, thank God you're saved. Thank God if you'd have died in the night, you know you'd opened your eyes in the presence of the Lord. That's plenty of reason to rejoice. Psalm 35 and verse 9 says, "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." My soul will rejoice in His salvation. Note that it's His salvation, not my salvation, but His salvation. Also, the salvation of the Lord, it's secure. And by the way, I have a reservation in glory. And if you're saved, you've got a reservation in glory as well. Therefore, can be joyful and sing aloud upon my bed when the doubts and fears tempt to rob me of my joy. Have you ever had that to happen when you lay down at the last thing and then all of these thoughts come into your mind and it becomes frustrating, maybe even interrupt your sleep? Well, the Word of God says in Psalm 49:5, it says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds." We just become totally focused upon God and His promises. And again, we experience joy beyond compare when we see somebody saved. Amen. And especially if it's somebody you've made a personal investment in, somebody you've been praying for, somebody maybe that you've witnessed to and so forth, and through prayer and witnessing, and then you see God save them. I tell you what, that is absolutely spectacular. It is wonderful. It is joy. In Psalm 126, and I know you're familiar with that psalm, but Psalm 126 and verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." I mean, that's a promise. I mean, if you're brokenhearted and you say, "Well, I'm not brokenhearted," well, ask God to give you a burden. And ask God to give you someone that you might have opportunity to minister to. And He says, "And he that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." There's an opportunity for joy. So joy is the fruit of God's salvation. And then also, last but not least, joy is the fruit of God's sovereignty. Aren't you glad God's in charge? Amen? All of this humanistic, Armenian works orientation that is out there around about us, which was representative of the majority, I tell you what, I'm glad that my salvation lies within God and not within myself. I'm glad that God's in charge. You know, Psalm 115 and verse 3 says that He created the heavens and earth. And you know what else it says? He says He does whatever He pleases. And everything that He pleases to do is right, because He's incapable of doing anything other than what's right. And I get to thinking about that, and we all have adversaries, don't we? We have adversary, and our greatest adversary is the devil, isn't he? And he's got a lot of help there as well. But the Lord defends the believer from all attacks from the adversary. I'm going to turn to a passage of Scripture now in Psalm chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5. And I'm going to begin with verse 11 and 12. Psalm 5 and verses 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Are you trusting in the Lord? If you are, go ahead and rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. We don't have to be intimidated because God defends us. And I believe that. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. For Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, will compass him as with a shield. So God is our protection. We've already learned that we're in His hand and we're in the Father's hand and nobody can. God is protecting us. The Lord is in control of every trial that you encounter. And you say, "Well, I just don't know what's going to come next, you know, next morning. Is there something new?" My wife has been so discouraged because she's been ill for such a long period of time. And it's not like one thing, it's like everything. And it's like one thing after another thing after another thing. And pretty soon it becomes discouraging. But the Lord is in control. He is in control. Nothing out of control there. He's in control. He knows exactly what's going on for every trial that we encounter. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. And it's important to understand these scriptures, because if you've coveted in your heart and said in your heart, "Well, I want to be a helper of somebody's joy," well, you're going to be ministering to people that has had a lot of heartaches and a lot of problems. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's what I'd like to tell to every charismatic in the country, is they project this thing that God wants everybody to be rich, and God wants everybody to be healthy, and God wants everything to just go just right. But sometimes God's in control. He's in control of all of these times. And sometimes there, by the will of God, you're going to face some hardships. You are. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with what? Joy. What kind of joy? Unspeakable and full of glory. You know, oftentimes, you know, again, I've often said this, you don't, unless you've had some adversity, some problem and so forth, and then God, He delivers you from that. And I tell you what, you'll be rejoicing a whole lot more than you would if it never occurred. So oftentimes, trials come in our life as a design to help us to get closer to God and so forth. And in Jude in verse 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So even though you're going through hard times and everything, God's going to see you to the end. It's going to be okay. And so forth. The Lord's in control of every encounter you might have. And 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, though some strange thing happened unto you. How many times has that happened to you? Well, what have I done to deserve this? I'll swan. I didn't see that one coming. And we act like it's just such a... God's in charge of all of that. He is. But it says, but rejoice. You see? Well, how can I rejoice if I'm under a heavy burden, under a heavy trial? You can't within yourself, but when you tap into the Spirit of God, He is the one that is the source of joy. And He says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. It's not over yet. And God is sovereign and God is in control. The Lord will be with you to face every temptation. I'm running just a little bit long, so I'm just going to give this reference to you. It's James in chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3. Brother, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. I mean, it's the sovereignty of God. It's the control of God. It's the will of God. And the Lord is going to help you. And I believe that as time goes on and we get closer to the end, I think opportunities for you to face persecution is going to get greater. And yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I have been absolutely amazed at the amount of persecution that has went forth and the lies and all of that this past week has entailed, so forth. But the Word of God says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52, it says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And when I'm talking about persecution, I'm not talking about somebody talking bad about them. I'm talking about them beating them and throwing them and running them out of town. And they just thought that was the greatest thing in the world, and they was rejoicing in the Lord. Now, again, that comes from divine intervention. That's the Holy Spirit of God from within you and giving you that gift of joy that can only come through the Spirit of God. Because of the fruit of God's sovereignty, we have the opportunity to experience great joy in all of our churches too. I remember in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And then in verse 8, it says, and there was great joy in that city. That could be Raynell, that could be Somersville, that could be any city in the world. All we've got to do is give ourselves to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, here am I, use me. And help me to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And let's just close on this reality note. Weeping is a reality. I mean, there's times that we will be weeping. There is. There's times that hard times come and difficult times come. But you know what the Word of God tells the churches that we should be doing? We ought to be weeping with them that weep, right? And what? Rejoicing them with them that rejoice. Weeping is reality, but joy comes in the morning. I'm going to close with this verse, and then I'll let you go home and take that well-needed nap. Okay. Psalm 30. And verses 4 and 5. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Brother Don.